It's time to play the music. It's time to light the lights. It's time to get things started on the Muppet Show tonight. To introduce our guest star, that's what I'm here to do. And it really makes me happy to introduce to you Kermit the Frog impersonator Jordan Gierkowskis. Yay!
Hello and welcome to Carry On Swearing. My name is Jake Parker, I'm your host today, and today's guests, wow, they don't need an introduction. Well, they are going to do an introduction for me. Explain who you are, please.
My name is Jordan Gierkowskis. I am an amateur puppeteer, I suppose you could say, and I am a Kermit the Frog impersonator on TikTok.
Fantastic. Welcome to the podcast. An absolute honor having you. So let's start off with a simple question. Did you go to university to study puppetry? Were you an actor? What made you get into this?
I have no formal training whatsoever. It's basically like monkey see, monkey do. I'm also an artist, so I study visually. Like when I watch cartoons, I study animation. Like I watch how characters move. I watch how, you know, if a character is sad, what is their body posture like? So when I watch things, I look at them more than I watch them, if that makes sense. And so puppeteering was kind of the same thing. I kind of just learn from watching. I learn from doing. And the great thing about Jim Henson is that he wasn't really ever shy with his knowledge. So, you know, he had documentaries and TV specials, and here's how we did the Muppets. And here I have three books over there on a counter all about how they made the Muppet Show. So nothing was a secret. He made that information very accessible to everybody.
I'm with you. Okay, fair enough. And why the Muppets, may I ask? Why not any other puppetry? Like, I know, obviously, Jim Henson did many things, Sesame Street to Fraggle Rock to Labyrinth, but why the Muppets? Why Kermit the Frog?
Man, that is a really good question. I do love everything that Jim Henson has done, and I do like things that Jim Henson didn't do. In the world of puppetry, there were shows like Eureka's Castle and other things like that that I really enjoyed. When it comes to the Muppets, I think it's a little bit of the visuals. They're very visually interesting looking characters. The diversity of characters is great. They're not all just humans. They're not all bears. They're not all lions. But mainly it's the personality and the character. It's a lot of that zany. It's a lot of that wild and crazy. And it's this thing where even Jim Henson said, sorry, I'm going to mention Jim a lot. even Jim Henson said, you know, the Muppets weren't for children. It was family entertainment. The kids could enjoy it, but it was material based more for adults that kids could enjoy. So I think even leading, you know, past that phase where you're supposed to grow up and be an adult, these things are still entertaining because it is for adults. You know, the Muppets aren't always teaching you how to count or how to read. You know, they're blowing stuff up. They're being zany and crazy. And Kermit's just always appealed to me. I don't know why. He's just the man. He's the man, he's the frog, and he's just perfect in every way. And I guess he's kind of a little bit like me in a way. Like he's kind of quiet and subdued, but when he needs to be, he can take control and be crazy if he wants to. So I kind of see a little bit of my personality in the character. So maybe that's why I lean more towards him than like Gonzo or Fozzie, because I'm not that out in left field.
I got you. And why did you start doing TikTok? Now, obviously, I've been following you for a little while, and I came to you to ask if you want to be a part of this journey with me. But how did you start TikTok? What gave you that inspiration?
TikTok for me started during the COVID lockdown. COVID hit, no job to do, just sitting at home. What am I going to do? So I initially started my own Muppet independent puppetry thing. It was called Jordy's Place. It's still up on TikTok, but I don't really interface with that page anymore because Kermit takes too much of my time. And I did that for a couple years, and like the growth just wasn't hitting, and it was kind of feeling a little stale for me. I tried integrating my wife into it. We had a lot of fun doing that, but it just kind of, it just wasn't growing, and we weren't getting traction. And when something fun starts to feel like a chore, it's time to pivot. So I've always loved the Muppets, and I eventually found this great page on Facebook called Muppet Puppet Replicas, and they're people that build their own replicas of Muppets, mainly just to share with others because they're not supposed to sell them, and most people don't, but occasionally you can find a listing for a green frog puppet. Not necessarily Kermit. So I found a guy. Hope he doesn't mind me saying his name. His name's Carl Chad from the UK. Makes beautiful, beautiful everything from Kermits to Piggies to Fozzies to Rizzos to Fraggles. And he's the one who made this Kermit right here. And I was like, man, these things are just beautiful. And because for me, like being an artist, like if it doesn't look top tier, I'm not going to mess with it. So knowing that I could have a Kermit that looks this good, and I feel my voice is okay, the two together, it works. And for me, when I'm on TikTok, like, you know, they always say, if you're going to do something, find something where there's a void and fill it. So when I went on TikTok and I'm looking up for Muppets or Kermit the Frogs or anything at all, it's either TV clips and movie clips, or it's people who have a Kermit puppet, but they're not being Muppety with it. They're not staying true to that character. You know, it's here's Kermit singing rap songs. Here's Kermit singing opera. Here's Kermit being incredibly obscene. I'm sure everyone has seen the cucumber video on Omegle, but yeah, there was nothing where it's like, wow, that's Kermit. That feels like Kermit, and that is true to Kermit's character. And I know there's a bunch of people out there that are looking for it. So I just found a void, and I tried to fill it.
Amazing. I have a serious question for you, and it's a big one. What is your favorite Muppets film?
Ooh, my favorite Muppets film. It's going to have to be The Great Muppet Caper.
Ah, good choice.
And the reason is because it is completely zany. Like, even Kermit, for being the straight man all the time, has a lot of good jokes. He thinks him and Fozzie Bear are twins. Like, there's just so much zany. It's not all about heart and feeling and emotion. It's just straight comedy from beginning to end. And I think that's why that one's probably my favorite.
Fantastic. I want to address the frog on your arm, obviously. So, hello, Kermit. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. So, obviously, I want to talk to you directly for a second and just ask you, you know, what's it like being a part of the Muppets and how it started and just et cetera and how you're doing?
Well, you know, here, you know, we're technically not part of the Muppets, but, you know, we're trying to do an assimilation of such. And it's actually been a pretty interesting ride. You know, there's a lot of people that connect with the frog. They like to talk to the frog. When we do live streams, you know, and people just say it brightens their day just to watch me talk to them on a camera phone, you know?
I get you.
So it's been fun. It's great to reach people and try to brighten their day.
I love to hear it. And obviously, my next question is, what is your favorite Muppets film?
It's really hard to choose. You know, they're kind of like your kids. You know, you can't pick your favorite child. So I guess I kind of love them all equally.
Okay, I'm with you. I get you. Now, obviously, we're going to have a conversation for the three of us. I hope that's possible with your voice. Let's see if we can do it, okay?
We can make it. We can make it work. I like a good challenge.
Fantastic. So I think we should talk about, obviously, the songs and the Muppets and about why it's such an inspiration for you. Obviously, you've mentioned very briefly that, obviously, you love Jim Henson's work and how he is. But there's got to be a moment, isn't there? There's got to be a song or a moment that you fell in love with the Muppets. My first time watching the Muppets, which obviously was the Muppets 2000, the recent Muppets film, not the Most Wanted, but obviously the Muppets film that came out just before that. That was my first introduction. What was your proper first introduction?
Oh, man, my first introduction. Well, I was born in 79. So I'm old. So I go way back with the Muppets. I remember watching reruns on television. I remember watching Fraggle Rock. I think the first Muppet movie I saw in theaters was Muppet Treasure Island or Muppet Christmas Carol. No, Muppet Christmas Carol was the first one I ever saw in theater. Everything else was kind of like renting from the video store, catching it on, you know, Disney Channel or ABC or whatever.
Now, what about you, Kermit? How did you discover the Muppets? Obviously, you're not part of the Muppets, but how did you discover the Muppets?
Well, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, when you're a frog and you're just sitting on a lily pad out in the swamp and you pick up a banjo like that one right back there and you just start singing songs about rainbows or being green, you know, and it just kind of flows right into your soul and it births itself from there.
I've seen a video on your TikTok of you going to watch the Muppets anniversary. Is it the 45th anniversary special?
That is correct.
What was that like making that TikTok?
That was actually really really great. Like, making the TikTok was fun. It's always fun when I can take Kermit anywhere and get him out in the real world. That's kind of why the Muppets work themselves, is Jim put him out in the real world. So anytime we take Kermit anywhere, it's always fun. For me, that was like my first time seeing the Muppet movie on the big screen. So that was actually kind of a really cool deal. And just to see like other people's reactions in the theaters when they see the frog as well. They did a Muppet Christmas Carol during Christmas time in my town too, and we took Kermit, we went and watched the movie, left like 5 minutes early and just stood out in the lobby, and like everyone came up to get their pictures with Kermit. So it's just really great to kind of give people that experience, because not everyone can like, oh, I just saw Kermit the Frog.
Yeah.
It's kind of rare, so it's cool to give that opportunity to people.
And how was that for you, Kermit? Did you enjoy filming that video?
I always do enjoy it. The worst thing is, though, is that I have to travel in a backpack.
Oh, yeah, I get that. Yeah. Bit cramped.
Yeah. A lot of cramped, and they never leave the zipper open wide enough for me to get the proper airflow.
Amazing. Perfect. My question is for you, back to you, Jordan, is that what are you looking for from this TikTok and these impressions? Are you hoping to carry on with your art or puppetry? Do you want to work for the House of Mouse? What is it for you that, why do you do this?
I do what I do right now because in my mind, this is the closest I will ever get to achieving my dream. I would love to work for the Henson Company. I would love to work, however it works, with Disney and the Hensons, like to be a Muppet performer. I would absolutely love it. I would sell my house. I would burn all my belongings. I would quit my job. I'd do everything but leave my wife to go and make this dream happen. So I don't know, you know, it's one of those like Hollywood moments. If someone somewhere saw it one day and like, hey, let's call that guy. That would be great.
Yeah.
But if not, let's be real. If this is the closest I ever get, it's close enough.
Oh, I like it. That's a nice, humble way of saying it. And obviously you get a thrill from people watching your TikToks. Obviously I see you interacting with people, and obviously you did that little teaser for me and we saw the numbers grow. People love that you were coming on. I had messages telling me, you know, they love that you will come on the podcast. What does that make you feel like? Does that make you feel happy that people are interested in your work and what you do?
It does. It makes me feel happy. It makes me happy to know that there's still a large audience for the Muppets. You know, Disney doesn't give us a lot of Muppet stuff anymore. I just made a video about how it's been 10 years since we've even had a Muppet movie. But there's still a good fan base for it. So I like the fact that I can give that to people. But I do have to, like, you know, I got to remind myself, not like an egotistical way, but it's like I'm riding on someone else's coattails. You know, the success that I'm having with the frog is all because of the frog. It's got nothing to do with me.
Mm. I got you.
So, you know, there is like a fine line to dance within that a little bit. But that's why I try to stay true to the character, have as much fun as possible, and just give them what they want.
I have a question for you, quite a serious one. And obviously, just think about it for a second. What would you tell your younger self that you now know?
What would I tell? In regards to, like, all of this?
So regarding everything, from TikTok to Kermit to everything, what would you tell your younger self?
I would tell my younger self that everything that's happening right now is, even though it's a negative, it's going to form itself into a positive, and it's going to make you the person that you are today.
Okay.
Like, obviously, I'm a 45-year-old man who plays with puppets and does voices, so obviously I was not what we would call popular in high school.
Yeah.
So I got picked on, I got bullied, I got beat up, and that went past high school, and I still get picked on today. I mean, jump into a TikTok live stream, you know, doing something silly in front of nameless people that just run their mouths all the time, you still get picked on. But, you know, being able to go through that, it's taught me how to treat other people.
Yeah.
You know, do unto others as others do unto you. And it's like, so, you know, I feel being bullied and having the rough spots and not having a lot of friends and all these things that you would almost lump into a big chunk of negativity has built me into the person that I personally have come to like.
Of course. And what about you, Kermit? What would you tell your younger self?
Well, you know, I would definitely tell myself to get a bigger house. because I made so many friends with dogs and bears and chickens and things, and we're just running out of room. We definitely need more bathrooms.
Of course. More bathroom. Yeah. What inspiration would you give to the next person? Like, obviously, you just mentioned about being bullied and picked on, and you know, obviously, I was picked on myself. I love film and TV. I used to pretend to be the Doctor from Doctor Who. I used to pretend Primeval was a thing. I used to love the fantasies I used to make up. But what would you inspire that next person that is also going through that and didn't have a bit of denial about if they are right in this kind of industry that we call?
You know, I always tell everybody to embrace it. If whatever you're doing, as long as it's not hurting yourself or other people, do it.
Yeah.
I have a son. He's 21, almost 22 now. But when he was young, you know, I used to tell him, like, you know who were nerds? You know who got bullied in school? George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, like these beautifully creative people. And I don't know if that's a fact, but, you know, most of the artistic and creative and, you know, entertainer people seem to kind of be those that come from that bullying stage in life.
Yeah, yeah.
So I say embrace it, lean into it, run with it. At some point, the people around you will appreciate you for who you are and what you do.
And addressing you, Kermit, are you able to give us a little song? Are you able to sing for us?
Are we taking requests? Do you have a request?
I have Rainbow Connection. Is that possible?
Yeah, I can do a little a cappella Rainbow Connection for you. Why are there so many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to hide. There you go.
Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome.
So this is what I'm going to address now is the voice. Obviously, you do come it quite well. I'll put that straight. It's very, but how long do you train your voice to get that voice?
I've been able to do Kermit the Frog as early as like freshman year in high school. I can remember doing it. Again, you know, being a fan of Muppets and puppets and animation, you know, voices, you know, I taught myself how to do Mickey and Goofy and, you know, Rizzo and Fozzie and all these other voices or whatever. Kermit, I kind of learned to fine tune a little bit because he is such a favorite of mine. I'll give you the super short, sweet version. I did a big, long video about it on my TikTok where I can learn to listen to voices almost like a song. So if I listen to Jim Henson's Kermit, his voice goes low to mid. So Kermit the Frog starts here and never goes higher than here. Steve Whitmire was medium to high. Steve Whitmire, who took over after Jim, his Kermit was here and go way up here sometime. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to appease people who grew up with Steve, like you, because your first introduction was in 2011. And I'm also trying to appease people my age and older who grew up with Jim. So instead of doing medium to high or low to medium, I do medium, low, and high. So no matter who you are, hopefully you hear a little bit of your Kermit in my performance.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. I get you. I want to talk about inspiration for a second. And you were on about Jim Henson being a massive inspiration and the reason why you're doing what you're doing today. Is there anything else that inspires you to get out of bed and put the puppet on your arm and be the character that you obviously love playing?
Honestly, it's not so much who inspires me to do it. It's the feeling I get when I do it. Like, it's really weird, but, like, to be a Muppet fan and to put a Kermit the Frog on your arm, it's magic. It's so cool. And you can even ask my wife, when I first got the frog, she would wake up and I'd just be sitting on the couch watching TV with the frog on my arm. And I would just be doing this and just talking to myself because there's small hand tricks you got to do to get the head right. So I was teaching myself. So she would just wake up and me and the frog are just watching TV. And I'm just talking to myself with my phone and watching and studying and learning, you know, how to get all the proper face scrunches and the eyes level. And it's there's so much joy that comes with just puppetry in general that's what makes me do it. I wake up every morning like, ooh, here's my ideas I want to do. Here's how I want to try to do it. And also the technical standpoint of how do I do it?
Yeah.
Like, how do I make it look like Kermit is doing this? We went to Jamaica last year and I put Kermit in the swimming pool. I'm like, let's get Kermit like he's doing cannonballs, and how do we film it and edit it and crop it and keep the puppeteer out of frame? And It's like it's educational for me and entertaining for me.
I got you. I get you. Was any of Jim Henson's work also inspiring apart from The Muppets? So I mentioned Sesame Street and Fraggle Rock and The Labyrinth and Dark Crystal.
Oh, yeah. All of it. I mean, I grew up with Sesame Street, but I don't really jive with Sesame Street anymore. But everything else, Fraggle Rock is still big for me. Labyrinth, Dark Crystal, all of those things. And they all inspire me in different ways because with Muppets and Fraggles, it kind of teaches you the big movement. Yeah, let's get wild and crazy. But if you watch The Dark Crystal, where they're trying to be more human, you really learn like the smaller subtleties, you know? So instead of just being big and crazy all the time, you know, when you're trying to be serious or sad, you can actually get kind of small, you know? And it's just a whole different range of emotions where, again, if you just put it all together into one melting pot, it just makes for a really good soup.
Have you ever found that you might be talking to yourself when you're with the puppet? I know you mentioned earlier that you'll have it on your arm and you would do the little movements, but have you ever had a proper conversation with just you two?
I do it all the time. Because sometimes, like I'll make a video, and it only took me like 5 minutes to make the video, but I'm not done playing with it yet. So I'll finish my video, and I'll be like, well, I think we got that in one take. That was a good job. Well, what do you think? And there's even been a time where my wife downstairs was like, are you talking to yourself? And I was like, yeah, I'm just not done playing yet. So I don't do it all the time, and I don't do it for long periods of time, but it's just like, I took the time to put on the puppet, and I'm already done. I still kind of want to play really quick before I got to go to work. So I got to get my time in when I can. And if that's just sit in front of the camera and just having a talk to myself. You know, even though I perform Kermit now,
yes,
I'm still a fan. I still want to talk to Kermit just like everyone else wants to talk to Kermit. So I get my time in when I can.
Of course. And what does it feel like having all those fans now following you? Obviously, when you saw the numbers increase, your followers and the likes increase, what did that feel like?
It was a pretty good feeling. Again, it was more of like, I know they're not following me. No. They're following the frog, which is built on the backs of other people.
Yeah.
But what does feel good to me is like, okay, whether it's my voice, my singing, or my puppeteering skills are to a level good enough for that many people to follow.
Yeah.
You know, I could have a puppet and be like, I'm Kermit the Frog, hi, Horma, and be bad, and like this, and what, and you know, that's not the same. So the pride that I get out of it is the quality that I put into it more than the legacy that the character has obviously brought on without me.
Of course. Kermit, I realized that you were in a British commercial for Crumpets, if you remember.
Oh.
You might have not known that.
I will take your word for it. I've done a lot of commercials.
Tea and crumpets. My question is, well, what is a Muppet film that you would like to see happen? Both of you, actually. What would you think?
I'll tell you what I don't want to see first, and that's where the Muppets have to save the theater. I think that's been done a million times, and we don't need any more. I think we need to start going back to, like, the Christmas Carol, Treasure Island kind of vibe, where we take classic literature and put the Muppets in it. I just gave an example on TikTok the other day of the Three Musketeers.
Yeah.
But you call it the Three Muppeteers.
Nice.
You know, Gonzo, Fozzie, Skeeter, and Scooter, and all those guys, they play Artemis and Aramis and Kermit's D'Artagnan. Like, I think taking Kermit and making Kermit play a character in a story is working better than Kermit just being Kermit anymore, because in my personal opinion, I don't think Kermit is Kermit anymore. They've made him a little, like, kind of a sorry sack. Like, he doesn't believe in himself. He's like, I can't believe, I don't think we should do this show. And that's not Kermit. Kermit's like, yeah, let's go. You know, let's do it, let's make it happen, and let's have fun. So I feel as a universe, if we can't write for Kermit anymore, let's just make Kermit someone else and play a role.
Of course. And you said that you can do other voices, not just Kermit, but obviously you can do Fozzie Bear and Rizzo the Rat. Can you give me an example of that?
Yeah. Bear with me, because I think they're okay. I don't really do such a hot Fozzie Bear. My friend Jimmy Ribbit, who I do collaborations with on TikTok, does a great Fozzie Bear. Inside scoop, we might be getting a Fozzie Bear to join the K-Mop crew soon, courtesy of my good friend Jimmy Ribbit. But, like, you know, there's so many characters. Like, I mean, there's the Swedish Chef, so it was like, Rundy, Brundy, Frundy, Skrr. And then, like, Floyd Pepper from The Electric Mayhem, he's like, oh, man, you know, me and Animal, we're going to go hit the Electric Mayhem bus, and we're going to find ourselves a jive turkey. And then Rizzo the Rat I'm still working on, because I think that's going to be my next puppet replica that I'm going to get to incorporate in. So Rizzo would kind of be like, Rizzo the Rat here, and I love myself some food. And then there's, like, Gobo Fraggle. Gobo Fraggle's kind of got, he's like Robin, but with a Canadian accent. So Gobo Fraggle would be like, oh, you know, me and Uncle Travel and Matt, we're going to go down to Fraggle Rock and we're going to find ourselves some silly creatures. And then there's Boober Fraggle also.
Boober Fraggle just loves soup. Soup and laundry. And actually, Boober Fraggle and Kermit are very similar, and sometimes I drift in between the two voices,
yeah, yeah,
which is a problem sometimes.
Do you feel like, obviously I would call you as a voice actor, you are very talented at your voices and you know what you're doing, especially with Kermit the Frog, and what I've just heard, they're actually very, very good, even if you might not think they are. What kind of techniques do you do to get the voice ready? Do you have to warm up the vocal cords? Do you have to, what do you do? Do you drink some tea?
I don't do as much as I should. when I do a live stream, it's either tea with honey, or I'll just do like a straight shot of honey.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because it keeps, that honey really coats the back of my throat, so I don't have to, like, stop and drink water continuously,
mm-hmm.
Which is hard to do when you got one hand or no hands free at the moment. But yeah, so there's probably a billion things I should be doing, but those three things are normally what I do. And after, like, a long, if we'll do, like, a 2.5 hour live stream, like, I'll definitely start drinking some tea afterwards.
Yeah, of course. And Kermit, do you like tea? Are you a tea drinker?
Well, of course I love the tea. And we can't forget my famous meme of me drinking tea. Saying, well, that's not my problem.
And Kermit, how do you feel about Disney or the reputation of the Muppets kind of dying off? Like we just said, the last time the Muppets came out was, what, 2014, I think, with Most Wanted, maybe a bit sooner than that. We have not had...
That is correct.
We've had the Muppets TV show on ABC. We've had Muppets Now on Disney+. I wouldn't class them as Muppets. I wouldn't. But what do you, you know, what would you say?
Honestly, just to save face, because you never know who's looking, I'm going to let this guy answer that question for me. Yeah. I love Disney. I would love to work for Disney. Disney, please hire me. But with that being said, they don't understand the property that they own.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem. They try to put out a show. They write the characters wrong, and they don't understand why it doesn't work. And even when it does work, they don't think it's working.
Mm.
The ABC Muppets one from 2015 that was like a spoof of The Office was a really good example of a show. The first half of the first season, the characters were written all wrong.
Yeah.
And somebody figured it out, and they got all new writers in. And the second half of the first season was gold.
Mm-hmm.
But because as an overall, it didn't work, they scrapped it. Seriously think if that show had a season two, it would have really caught its groove and we would have had a long running show with that.
Yeah.
And I think that's true with any show. You can't base the success of a show off one season.
No.
Off 8 episodes of one season. It's gotta grow. We have to learn to love or hate or sympathize with these characters, and that takes time. So I think every time they drop a Muppet show, it wins awards. It wins Emmys and Kids' Choice Awards and all this, and they still scrap it every time. Electric Mayhem, one season. The Muppets, 2015, one season. And I hate to say it, but it's not the Muppets, it's not the performers, it's the writing.
Yeah.
Because Apple TV owns the Fraggles now, and they're on season 2 of a reboot, and it's fabulous.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything is written right, and the changes they have made are for the better. And it fits, and it works. And I think they just need to pay more attention. They need to go back and rewatch everything before they own the Muppets.
Yeah.
And just start emulating that a little bit more.
I agree. I do agree. Now, obviously, we know that the podcast is called Carry On Swearing. It is a swearing podcast. I don't expect the frog to swear. You're not going to swear, Kermit. We're not going to ruin.
Of course.
We're not going to ruin your reputation. But
thank you.
I do have a question. Obviously, what is your favorite swear word? Obviously, I'm British. We love our swearing over here. You've watched half our TV shows. We like to swear. But what is your favorite swear word?
My favorite swear word. Wow. I don't even know. I use so many. Like when the frog's not on my arm, like I'm a tattoo artist. My normal job's a tattoo artist. So all day I'm swarmed by tattooed people who are half naked listening to heavy metal music, and we are swearing like truck driving sailors. So I don't know if I perchance have a favorite swear word. If anything, I like name calling more than swear words. Like if I call you a douche canoe, like that's funner to me than saying a swear word sometimes. But that does make it difficult sometimes to be like, because I do swear. I'm an adult. I swear all the time at work.
Yeah, of course.
And I come straight home from work. I grab a quick meal. I put the frog on. And I'm interacting with, like, you know, 300 people in the chat. It's really tricky to not let some of those words just kind of pour out of the frog's mouth just out of, like, fluidity of language.
Yeah.
Like, the other day, Kermit said, suck. He's like, well, I know, and it probably sucked. And I didn't want to say it. Kermit's never said sucked. And I was like, oop, caught myself. And luckily it wasn't a horrible word.
Of course.
But it was a word nonetheless.
Obviously, Kermit, I'm not going to make you swear, but what is your favorite word in the dictionary or the thesaurus? What is your favorite word to use?
One of my favorite words right now is gesticulate. And it sounds bad, but it just means to move your hands.
Okay.
And good. Hey, if I ever swear, it's basically just good grief.
Good grief, yeah. Yeah.
Good grief. Yeah.
There is a D23 just happened, and obviously I saw your post about them not announcing another Muppet project. And I have obviously I do my research before I bring guests on. They sounds like they're making a Monsters Inc. park, but it sounds like they might be shutting down the Muppets 3D adventure. In what does that? How does that make you feel? That the kind of that the IP of the Muppets is kind of slowly disappearing.
I'm not happy about it. I don't know if I fully believe it yet. If you look at the map of Hollywood Studios, Muppet 3D is this itty-bitty little plot of land between Galaxy's Edge and Star Tours and a parking lot behind it. I don't feel that's enough space to build Muppets Inc. Land with a roller coaster and all this stuff. I don't think... And plus, like, last year... I mean, this... could mean nothing, but like last year they just refurbished all the seats.
Yeah,
I heard they'd made some adjustments to the animatronics, so why do all that if you're going to close it? But at the same time, if you're not making movies, you're not making shows,
yeah,
you might as well scrap it. I don't want them to, it would break my heart, but already the gift shop is never open. There's a huge building right outside of Muppet Theater 3D and it's never open. It's empty. I've been to Disney 3 times in 3 years, and the only merch I could find is a pin. A tiny little pin.
This is what I'm getting to, is that obviously there's Sesame Street on ABC, I believe. And also, we don't have ABC over here, but it's on CBBC, which is our version of a kids' TV channel. And of course, Fraggle Rock, mm-hmm. you just said, has just been remade into like their second season. So it sounds like there's more love for these two properties than there is for the Muppets. And yes, I get the Muppets is kind of like a spin-off to Sesame Street. A bit more of an adult version, if you would.
Yeah.
But it's just a bit sad to hear that the franchise is slowly dying. And obviously you have come in to TikTok and kind of brought back that energy. And don't get me wrong, I love seeing Kermit there. And it's an absolute dream seeing how the voice is done. And Kermit, you are an inspiration. You always are. It's just nice.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And this is what I've been trying to get to for this whole podcast. Is that because you didn't tell me. You messaged me and say, look, I'm not in the entertainment industry. And at a point, you are correct. But actually, you are an instant. You are on TikTok, and thousands of people come and like watch your video, and they enjoy what you do. And yes, you are right. It comes off the back of somebody else's work, but you're keeping that dream alive. And this is the reason why I asked you to come on. Because, yes, I might not get the actual proper guy to do the voice. And it may never happen. He may never come on this podcast. But you are the closest thing to keeping that dream alive.
You know what? We'll take it. We'll take it.
Thank you so much.
That's all right. My absolute pleasure. My question is this also, is that the 2000 and the Muppets film that I was on about the theatre shutting down, that was the first reincarnation of the Muppets coming back to screens. How did that make you feel knowing that the Muppets was back at that time? And don't get me wrong, it's a really great film. I love the film.
I was excited. Anytime anything new Muppet comes out, I'm excited and I'm thankful. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, it's Muppets. Like, let's keep going. Because something you hate, I love. So there's always an audience
for something for everybody.
Yeah.
I was super happy that there was a Muppet movie. Again, I thought the characters were written a little off. I actually prefer Muppets Most Wanted more. I feel it was just a little bit more comedy, more zany, more, you know, Constantine the Evil Frog. The world's most evil frog. It was absolutely, as far as new Muppets introduced, is comedy gold.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish, the problem is Constantine and now Kermit the Frog are performed by the same guy,
yeah.
Matt Vogel. So you'll never get a Kermit-Constantine buddy road trip movie ever,
no.
Which would just be absolutely hilarious. But I'm always glad when they come back. Again, the first one was a little too mushy. Kermit was just too depressing for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't feel he ever smiled in that whole movie, if the frog can smile. He just never did. But I'm always hopeful. I still watch him. I watch him all the time. There's not a day that goes by I don't watch or fall asleep to something Muppets related. So I'm always grateful to have anything. I just feel we need to get people who worked with the Muppets, wrote for the Muppets, back writing for the Muppets.
Of course.
Because before the 2011 movie written by Jason Segel, who is a Muppets fan, so that's why that movie works as good as it does, it was a script from Josh Gad, who plays Olaf. Like, why are these random people who have no association or affiliation writing for these characters? Dave Goles, who plays Gonzo, OG, still around. Frank Oz, super OG, still around. He has a script called The Cheapest Muppet Movie Ever Made. And it starts off with the Muppets making a movie, and as the movie goes on, it gets less and less quality because they keep running out of money. And it's supposedly this great epic thing, but no one will let them make it. So I say, go back, you know. Everyone, there's still a lot of people alive today that were alive then that I feel could get brought back in the fold and really bring substance back to the characters.
I'm with you. Kermit, I have to ask, how is Miss Piggy?
Oh, good grief. The pig, well, she's a diva. I'm sure she's blowing up my phone right now because I have not responded to her text messages in the last 39 minutes. So basically, I am on the couch and it's your fault.
And what's it like filming a feature? And obviously, I work in film and TV, so I know it's 6 to 10 months of being on set. What's it like for you?
In regards to Piggy, well, you know, we try to keep it as professional as possible.
Yeah.
You know, every movie they make us a love couple, but no. I don't think so. As I said once in the Muppet Show, bib, napkin, knife, and fork is the only way that I will touch pork.
Brilliant. I love it. We've talked about your wife and about your child. How do they feel about this? How do they feel about the puppets and the inspiration? How do they take it?
My son, take it or leave it, he's got his own thing. My wife has fully embraced it. When we first met, I was like, hey, I do puppets. And she's like, what? And it's just like, it was kind of something I had to show her and be like, well, you know, I got expensive, high-quality puppets. They're not like cheap sock puppets or whatever. And like, I let her put one on and play with it, and she just lit up. Like, I feel if everyone just put a puppet on, like, it's so much fun, it's hard not to have fun.
Yeah.
But she's way, way into it. Like, she is my right-hand woman. Literally and figuratively, now that I have my cast, when I live stream, she sits next to me and she works Kermit's arm since I can't. And she helps me film and she helps me pick good scenes. And like she's always hesitant because I'm like, hey, will you help me make a video? And she's like, ugh, okay, I'll help you make a video. And then when we're in it, she's like, nope, you got to stand over here. The lighting's better over here. It's got to be perfect. The editing needs to be sped up. Like she's my biggest supporter, my best critic. And she's like, she's into it. She really helps out.
Good.
More than I ever thought she would. Because she's the, you know, the beautiful, blonde, popular girl. How I landed her, everyone always asks me. And I say, it's the puppets. The puppets help, dude. So I always thought it'd be something I did on my own. But she has been with me through all of it. And she helps support me through it. If I'm like, hey, I want to spend $1,000 on a puppet. She goes, okay, if this is what it's got to be. Like, she champions me through.
I got a weird question for you. Is there any time that you've done a weird thing with Kermit? Like, obviously, Kermit, you don't have to answer this, of course. You are very innocent. But have you ever woken up next to the missus with the puppet on the wrist and goes, hi-ho, or anything like that?
I never have with Kermit, but with my other puppets, yes. with my other puppets, in my original TikTok, I did a thing called Jordy's Place, and the puppet was made to look just like me.
Okay.
Except it's bald, because I used to be bald. So when we did our live streams, it was her and the puppet. So it was like they were a married couple. So they would fight. They would bicker. They would flirt. They would get raunchy. They would, you know. So that was kind of a fun play. And she got straight into that, too. In the beginning, she's like, I don't know about being on camera. I'm not really a performer. But, like, when you're in it, you're in it. And, like, when you're next to a puppet and you look at it, you don't pay attention to the puppeteer ever.
No.
So, you know, she would just lock eyes on that thing, and it was just natural, as natural could be. So she's all for it. She's a beautiful woman. I love her.
What's the nicest thing you've heard on TikTok? You always get comments coming by, and you probably get messages like I messaged you. What's the nicest thing you've heard?
Any compliment I get is always great, to where people say, I wish you were the new Kermit. No offense to Matt Vogel. I love you, Matt Vogel. You're a brilliant performer. But a lot of people are bumping into his voice of Kermit. They're not jiving with it. I don't know if it's just because we don't experience every time. We only hear it once every 6 months, so it's very jarring. But when people say, you should be the next Kermit, you sound just like Jim, you sound just like Steve, anytime someone just connects me to those people, it makes me feel good.
Have you ever gone for an audition with the puppet, like talent shows? You got American talent shows, like we have British talent shows. Have you ever tried going and doing some of that?
I haven't. A lot of people always said when we did the Jordy's Place, and that you should go on America's Got Talent, but it's like we were unscripted improv chit chat, and I don't think that works well for a talent show. We're not going to win anything. I've never really auditioned. I haven't. My wife always says I need to send in an audition tape to the Henson Company. Because their website says we're not hiring, but we're always taking tapes.
Mm.
And I've just never done it. And I don't know if it's... I have it. It's all planned in my head. Every single skit, every puppet. I don't know if it's just like a... I feel it's a waste of time because I'm just a middle-aged man from the middle of Michigan. Like, it's never going to happen for me. Or if it's a fear of rejection, getting that rejection letter, which I would still frame on the wall because it came from the Henson Company. But I don't know what it is. I don't know what's holding me back. If it's just the... I'm a dreamer, don't get me wrong, but I'm a realist at the same time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. If the opportunity ever came up, I would take it. And I know it's not going to come to me. I have to go to it.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to do it. And I got to do it soon because, you know, I'm like 45. I'm not getting any younger, you know?
I'm with you. I'm with you. Kermit, do you think he should audition?
I definitely think that he should. Yeah. And Disney, if you're listening, he'll do it for half price. Yeah. Like, give me like $100 a week. I will gladly do all this work. Because not only do I love performing, entertaining, I'm awkward on camera. I didn't like being on camera, which is why this is perfect for me. But I also love movies and cinema. I love how they're made. I would love to be on set just to watch. Like, I buy a DVD, I go straight to the bonus features. So everything about it appeals to me, at least my idea of it. I've never been on a set. I'm sure it's grueling work.
It is.
But it just seems like so much fun, and to have that opportunity to entertain and like, oh, it's a dream come true. I would absolutely love it. Yeah.
Of course. Kermit, oh, actually, I'm going to ask both of you. Yeah. Do you want to have can we just see a conversation between you two? Can we just see how it works?
Let's give it a shot. I agree with the bearded man on the screen that you should send an audition tape. Well, I thought about it, but I've got it all planned out. Well, if you got it all planned out, well, you should just make it and you should send it. Live your dream to sing and dance and make people happy. I could, but what if we get a rejection letter? It's still a letter from the Henson Company. It's better to get bad news than no news at all. You know what? I'm going to get him to make an audition tape. It is my new goal and my new dream. I don't need you to live my life for me. Well, one of us has to do it. It's just... I think we're good.
That was fantastic. Guys, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast.
It's been great to be here. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure talking to you both. Any final words? Where can people find you? You know, is there TikTok, YouTube, Instagram? How can people find your work?
We are on TikTok and TikTok only at KMUP_TV.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you as well, my friend. It was so much fun.